Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Scott, before we... Hey, what's going on with the... Okay.
Hi, can I hear you now?
Will you quit fucking around with the...
No, I'm not going to, because I want people to hear you, and for some reason you picked up mic cord 3 instead of mic cord 2. It happened.
Because you said it was that one sitting on the floor. That's the fucking one I picked up.
Yep, there's another one down there.
Well, that's not my fucking fault that your fucking studio's a piece of shit and the cords are everywhere.
Is there a reason why you're talking like you're a cast member of Lollipop Chainsaw?
Because I have no originality whatsoever. All right, but before we get into the Amazon promo, what I would like to say is this is the first episode you and I have recorded in quite a while where it's not oppressively fucking ridiculously hot.
Yes, I know. It stormed last night. And it cooled everything down.
It's actually nice out.
Oh, it was so nice. I'll tell you the truth. I even did some outdoor grilling yesterday. And it could not have timed it better. Because I brought in all the stuff I made on the grill. Finished up the last course that I was grilling.
And then thunderclap?
And then... the heavens opened and it cooled down and it was so fun watching my grill and just blaps, blaps. Yeah, you know, I was like, well, yeah, okay.
So Amazon.com, well, to be more specific, 1201beyond.com. If you go there and you see the links for Amazon.com, what do they do?
All they do is if you go in and there is one ad for the UK and one ad for the US and Canada. And all you have to do is go through those ads. We, of course, have our suggestions up.
You do not have to get them.
You don't have to buy any of them. It doesn't cost you anything more. And unfortunately, you don't really get any kind of a special deal outside of regular Amazon deals.
Other than the warm
deals.
Feeling that you know you're helping us out.
Exactly. But we get a little bit of whatever you happen to purchase. So if you shop at Amazon and you want to help us out and not have helping us out cost you anything more... there you go.
And now, as we get into our real topic.
Once again, please clear your cookies and turn off your ad blocker software.
Right. Otherwise, there's no ads there.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just look and there's nothing. And
there's my website. That's not nothing.
There's nothing worth reading. And only because I haven't started writing for you yet. But the reason I ask you to clear your cookies, too, is because... Amazon, once you click through and you make one purchase, they throw a cookie on there, and then any future purchases you make, we don't get. So clear your cookies and then go through, and you'll be helping us out every time.
Now, our real topic is internet critics. We've gotten quite a few requests on, I want you to hear you guys talk about that guy with the glasses and the game nerd and all this stuff. Now, but I have to ask you right off the bat, do you consider us internet critics? I mean, we criticize things on the internet. So are we internet critics, really?
No. No, we don't follow. There are those that set out, for instance, let's take one of the internet critics we really like, the Cinema Snob.
Brad Jones
has the sexiest voice on the internet. I've been told I'm the second sexiest.
You've been lied to.
I'm the Krull Witch to his Jad Abumrad. But the deal with him is he sets out and he makes his living reviewing current movies, looking at other older pop culture things.
The movies he grew up with, and he does it in a unique way.
In a unique and different way. And we don't really follow that one. We're more of a retrospective type deal where... We look back at what we grew up with, both the pop culture phenomena and stuff like that, but I don't think we really criticize them or get down on them all too often.
I do.
Yeah, you do. Okay. But I don't know. There's a formula that we're not following.
We're not following the Tigwatig, we're not following the Tigwatig style.
Tigwatig.
That guy with the glasses.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, we're not following
the
that
you literally
style.
Were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I have no idea. And by the way, that guy is not the only site out there. Another one of my favorite sites that's a collection of really good internet critics is The Escapist.
And let's see, okay, I have a lot of problem with TIGWITIG, and I have a lot of problem with just internet critics in general, some of which are the things Scott and I are going to talk about tonight. Now, Brad Jones is clearly a friend of mine. I host a show with him every week. There's a reason I'm not attacking him that's not that. He's actually funny. He stays fresh. He hasn't fallen into the goddamn traps that the TIGWITIG people fell into. So the reason we're not gonna, because I already know people are gonna go, well, you're not going after the cinema snob because you're friends with them, but you're not friends with Doug Walker. No, that's not the reason.
No, it really isn't. And just looking at these, and I know all too well that there are internet critics that listen to us. And here is my advice to you now, and I'm just gonna say it and get it out there at the beginning of the show. And that is, stop being angry and stop pretending that something or someone is forcing you to watch this stuff.
That's what we call the storylines. I don't know how you feel on this, but I hate them. Even the critics I like regularly, like Spoonie and Linkara, I cannot stand when they, oh my God, you know, I'm battling demons that are, you know, reviewing this comic book, help stop the alien invasion. Oh, just knock it off. All you do is create fast forward fodder.
Actually,
just review the fucking material.
That's my only huge, huge criticism of internet critics in general. For good examples of this, I mentioned The Escapist. Go to Zero Punctuation. Zero Punctuation is a British guy that is really funny.
Really fast-talking, really, and a lot of really, and I don't use this word lightly here, esoteric references he makes.
Lots of esoteric references, but he sticks to the material that he is reviewing. You don't get caught up in storylines. You don't have, you know, stickman adventures or anything like that. And I think really that, when it comes to that guy and other examples, I think the storylines, they just distract and detract from what you're trying to say about your source material.
I think one of the other problems is, and this is something that I think ruins great, very critical reviews of some real pieces of crap, and that is the whole buildup of, this is painful to sit through, like Spoonie's Wing Commander review. He tore that movie apart in all the ways it should have been.
Right.
But the review starts with him looking at the DVD and screaming, for like 30 straight seconds. And it's like, oh God, really? It's like, just, hey, I'm reviewing Wing Commander this week, and look, I'm going to tear it to shreds. That's all you need. You don't need to dress up in costumes this.
Should I go back and watch that Wing Commander review? Because I'll be honest, I tried watching, and we've said many a time, Spoonie is a friend of ours.
Yes.
I have a lot of respect for the guy. But that I got through that the first 30 seconds of him just screaming at the DVD, and I've, okay, he said all he's going to say, click off, and that's...
You know, and it's just, you get these, like Linkara, I think he... very tears apart bad comic books quite well when he researches them properly. On the other hand, this ongoing plot line of him battling aliens and alternate dimension versions of himself and Silent Hill characters and in reviewing the comics keeps them at bay. It's like, oh, just stop it. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I don't even watch that shit anymore. As soon as they start talking about this, it's like, all right, fast forward until we get to the review. At what point do you actually talk about the comic book?
Yeah, here's the deal. And it's kind of an ironic thing because I've seen many an internet reviewer. One that I particularly enjoy is Owen Citizen.
I'm 50-50.
I know you're 50-50 on it, but he makes good, smart references to me. He compares things in kind of a classic literature type deal, and I enjoy it. I enjoy his reviews. He himself has said that this is a good movie The problem is it's three good movies that have kind of been stuck together in one, and you get so tied up in these other two movies that you miss the third one. I forget what film he was reviewing, but basically it was they spent so much time developing the side plots and the side characters and stuff like that that you lose the main point and the main character of the movie. Well, and that's that is exactly what happens with a lot of internet reviewers. They get so caught up in the battling of the aliens or the possessed dartboard or whatever it happens to be that you lose the main part, you know, you lose your message.
Well, and then you've also got, and this is something that the Tigwatig people, all of them, but especially Doug Walker, seem to want to do so bad, and that is create internet memes. Doug Walker tries so hard to find some running joke that's just going to run like wildfire on the internet that he just keeps doing the same tired catchphrases wherever he thinks he can lodge those things in. It's painful to watch that man work sometimes.
That's a little harsh.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
Is that it's painful to watch him try so hard to, I was frozen today, into things, and he thinks it's so funny. It's not. Okay? The whole idea of a meme is not funny. Hey, look, I'm going to repeat something I heard from somebody else, and then someone else is going to repeat it from me, and that makes it funny, because it wasn't funny in the first place, but the 20th time it's repeated, that then it's funny. No, it's not funny.
Actually, when you try to create an internet meme, that's called marketing, and it's no longer really a meme. Memes are things that
memes
just
are phones ringing.
Yeah, well, they memes kind of organically come out of the world and out of the internet, and usually they're very short, very sweet, and but yeah, the important thing is they're organically grown. They're discovered by somebody and shared and. And they really are good enough to be shared
enough
to be
called memes. But look at the way Doug Walker does it. He is trying. He's almost basically admitted he wants to create something that spreads through the interwebs. And it's, dude, stop trying. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay? Just stop. And then there's something else I got to point out. Not just the Tigwatig people, but they are all almost guilty of this. Acting. Part of the problem with the storyline things, none of these people can act to save their lives. Have you tried to see Bennett the Sage or Phaelus try and act? I've seen more convincing performances in 1984 shot on video porno movies. And you can tell these people are trying too, Scott.
Okay.
And it's like, you can't act. Just review. Because you can tell the difference when they go into the review. It sounds natural. And when they're trying to do, oh, the demon's trying to stop me. It's like, God, this is, I'm embarrassed for you, man.
See, and I don't know if they can't act. I mean, I have a feeling that if you give them a well-written, well-produced play, Shakespearean work, something like that, I have absolutely no doubt that some of them have enough training. And again, my brain goes back, especially when it comes to Shakespeare. I have actually heard Owen Citizen recite Shakespeare, and he's very good at it.
But there are some that are. Noah Spoonie, he can act.
Spoonie can act.
Can act. There are ones that can.
I'll be honest, I can't stand Dr. Insano. Well-acted character.
You just don't like the character.
I just don't like the character. But yeah, Brad, if you've seen Paranoia or bits of it, very good actor.
Or even
when he's doing 80s Dan.
Or
Kung Tai Ted, and he's playing up a certain stereotype, he's a very good actor. Noah is a very good actor. Kyle, very good actor. Phelan.
Not so much.
Not so much. Especially Linkar, I can't remember his real name.
Lewis,
thank you. Not so much. good reviewers, good with their source material for the most part. Lewis has a few stumbling blocks, which you've talked about. But, you know, and when they really are talking about a subject that they're passionate about and that comes out, they're very enjoyable.
Well, and then you've also got ones like Phelous. I don't know how to read him. He can be incredibly funny in his writing and find the little nuances in a movie that need to be picked apart.
Yes.
And then he has this weird thing where Phelous tries to go out of his way to be as trollish to his own audience as possible again and again and again. And I'm not so sure why he keeps doing that. He clearly has the brain to be a smart person. He goes for the easy joke and then does da-da-da-da. Like, hey, I went for the easy joke because you guys hate when I do that. So that's what I did. I can't stand that.
Okay. I mean, and by the way,
it seems to be, okay, the thing with Phelous is he listens to the complaints of his audience, and when they complain about something, he does it 10 more fold. And it's like that is trolling his own audience. And I don't understand the thought process when he clearly is more talented than that.
And let me clear this up right away, too. When it comes to these people, and when we do criticize what we see, one, we're going to try and be constructive, and we're going to try and back up what we say. Two, I don't know any of these people. With the exception of Noah and Brad, I haven't talked to any of these people personally.
I've worked. I did a special with Lewis, and he was great. I mean, we had a great conversation.
But my point is, I don't know any of these people personally. I don't know what they're like in real life. And when I criticize, for instance, when I criticize Spoonie or Owen Citizen or Phelous or Obscurus Lupa, I am criticizing those characters. Not the people personally, because I don't know them personally. And that's the other thing that I've noticed, too.
Well, like, a good way, and I'm not trying to wrap this back around to me.
Sure, go ahead.
Like, you want to know what Lewis is really like? Listen to that special I did with him. He wasn't playing a character. That was Lewis Lovehog and I just having a conversation about comics for an hour. You want to know what Brad's really like when he's not playing the Cinema Snob? Listen to Radiodrome. That's the same Brad I talked to on the phone.
Or his interview here on Lost in the Static, yeah.
Right. So it's like, you get the people on shows like ours, they drop the character. So that's what they're really like.
And that's what I'm saying is, I don't know any of these people personally. I'm not criticizing them. It's just like if you're watching Taken. You're not criticizing Liam Neeson. You may criticize his character in that movie. But you know, at the same time, if you meet Liam Neeson, you're like, it's Liam Neeson. That's the only other thing that I have as a caveat for reviewers. And I think one of the things that majorly differentiates us from internet reviewers is here on Lost of the Static, you're getting Scott and Josh. This is who we are. If you hang out with us in real life, it's not going to be much different than the radio show.
Not really, no.
And ask the manager at Fazoli's. I've seen a lot of internet reviewers get lost in their characters.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Whenever they're out in public, they play their character. And that's... You're in that dangerous area there of, you know... Dude, why not just be you?
Exactly. And that's why I want to make it clear here now, when we talk about internet characters, internet reviewers, we're talking about your characters. I don't know you personally. You may be a really cool guy. You may be a dick. You may be a really cool woman, or you may be a feminist cunt. I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea. And so don't take it personally.
Yeah, because I can already see some of the comments we're going to get over this, some of the emails.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, remember when I talked about the angry video game nerd a while ago?
Yes.
You should have seen some of the angry emails. How do you know he did this stuff? How do you know he's wasting the money on the movie? I love this man, and how dare you defame him? Well, you go and look at, you know, everything, and the evidence is right there. but you're a blind fan and you don't want to see it. Speaking of the angry video game nerd, he started a trend that you already brought up.
Yes.
The angry reviewer. And now, I don't blame him for that. But, guys, it's over, okay? You still, to this day, see angry video game reviewers popping up on YouTube and on Blip, and it's like, really? Still this is going on? There was, I'm not a big fan of the site, but there's one guy called the Happy Video Game Nerd. He's a parody of the AVGN, and he's pretty funny in the fact that he finds pleasure in the bad games and stuff, and it's like, all right, that was, you know, a one-note joke that I don't think should still be going on, but, you know, he saw this trend and said, I want to call attention to the stupidity of this.
But at the same time, even though, yeah, it was kind of his setup was a one-note joke, he's developed his character.
Yes, he has.
It's not a... I'm familiar with the HVGN. and he's not a one-note character. He's brought some dimension to it. And it is refreshing, I have to admit. Because I've had bad movie nights here at the house. I no offense, but I will never invite you just because my friends would kill you. But I've had bad movie nights here at the house where we just revel in how awful this movie is. You know, Birdemic, et cetera, et al. And company, blah, 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 blah. And I enjoy that. And that's something that I wish more internet reviewers would do. Look, this it's the old, it's just like, oh, this is awful, Josh, here, taste it.
You know, okay, that brings us back to Brad. The reason the Cinema Snob character works is he's tearing apart those types of movies. At the same time, Brad Jones absolutely loves those types of movies. So when he's writing those reviews, he's basically fighting with himself for the character he's trying to put on. And that brings out originality. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Because Brad might go, oh, this scene is awesome. But the snob would go, dude, this is fucking terrible.
And that's interesting. But that's what I want to see in more internet reviews is fucking revel in it. Yeah, it's terrible. Revel in it. You know, it's. I had a friend of mine, Jake, God bless him. He said, you know, it's a weird thing about making a bed in life out of complete shit. I said, what? Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
He goes, it may be a bed made of complete shit. It may smell. It may be dirty. But damn, it's comfortable to lie in every once in a while. So
well,
you know.
There's also another trend within the angry reviewer shtick. And that is something that I blame the video game nerd for this one. Because he, and I'm saying James Rolfe does this too. Because when you see any of his reviews that he does as himself, he does this as well. There is so many of these people that think swearing for the sake of swearing is humor. I said fuck 9 times in a minute. That's humor. No, it's not unless you're 12.
No, humor is coming up with, and I've had this very discussion with Jason Oblivion because it got to the point with his radio show for a while.
This is before he was on Jackalope.
Before he was on Jackalope when he would say offensive and horrible and awful things about either other things or people or things like that, and it lost something. And so I said, you know, it's the humor isn't in sitting here and going fuck 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 fucking fuck fuck. It's coming up with. I said your humor was in the originality of it. Don't simply swear 9 times. Swear twice and find a unique and original way in which to do so.
Because it's like the angry video game nerd, the character first, just finds the word fuck inherently funny. And James Rolfe clearly does as well. If you look at any of his reviews, you actually, you know, he'll say, oh man, this thing was a piece of monkey fuck. And then you actually kind of hear him... after that. You know, he still giggles at the use of the word fuck. He's a 30-year-old man who's married, and the word fuck still just makes him a little just inherently in the word. That, to me, is a shocking display of immaturity. Are you fucking 12? The word fuck is not inherently funny.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sick of that. And it's all these angry game reviewers, angry movie reviewers do. They just say fuck so often, it's like it's lost all meaning. It goes back to like Eddie Murphy Raw. Remember when like people who hadn't seen him just thought his whole act was coming out and going, fuck, shit, cunt, yeah, suck my dick, all right, night, guys. You know, and they didn't realize he had actual fucking jokes in his set.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, swearing for the sake of swearing is stupid. And these online reviewers seem to think swearing for the sake of swearing is comedy. Exactly. It's not.
I know you don't listen to The Nerdist, but it's actually kind of funny because even though they always have an explicit tag, there are shows. They'll go four or five shows in a row without swearing at all. And then they'll have a guest on that swears up a storm.
Andrew Dice Clay.
No.
Was on Joe Rogan's show a while ago. He was great.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. But nonetheless, you know, they'll have a guest on and they'll drop some swear words, and for somehow those words, they have weight when you don't use them so much.
It's kind of like jerking off. If you jerk off every night, it just becomes routine. If you wait a good week between jerk offs, feels so much better, doesn't it? Yeah, I just went there.
I am not commenting.
Yes, I'm talking, you know, maturity, and then I make a jerk-off reference. So, yes, so there, good. I'm good complex job. Like that. Nice.
Excuse me.
But then there's also another trend, and The Nerd's not the first one I saw doing this, but he's probably the biggest I saw doing this, is you get net famous doing a certain thing. Like, he started doing the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Right.
And then you decide to stop doing that.
That thing that everybody really likes. And
keeps begging for more because, like, the Angry Video Game Nerd started out as every 2 weeks. Then it was an episode a month. Then it was an episode every 2 months. Then it was an episode every 3 months. And now he suspended the character completely to work on this other crap that no one watches. And it's like, Lord Cat did that too. I thought Until We Win was a fun little series. And then he just stopped. He just stopped doing Until We Win. And even the last couple, he half-assed it because he didn't even play the games. He had other people play the games and he just talked over their footage. And it was like, you're not even trying anymore, man, are you?
Now, I can kind of see where they're coming from with that one. Because if you do the one thing that makes you well-known around the internet or in the real world or anything like that, you suddenly want to look at people and go, I am not a one-trick pony. Look at this other stuff that I can do.
But no, you can do the other things. Like you and I, we do Lost in the Static. I wanted to do something slightly different. So when I did Radiodrome, I didn't stop doing Lost in the Static. I didn't half-ass Lost in the Static.
No.
I did something as well as this.
I know.
Same thing, you know. So, no, I do not put myself in that same category.
But I'm not putting you in that category, but what I'm saying is I can see where they're coming from. I really can. I can see, you know, they want to go, look, I'm well-rounded now that I'm well-known in the real world. Maybe I can start doing some other stuff and get well-known for that too. And they kind of forget, they kind of forget about the little character that could. You know, and so I understand where they're coming from. Yeah, it's a bad trend, but or yes, it's a bad decision, but at the same time, I know, you know, it's that I am not a one-trick pony, and sometimes if they get too well known as these characters outside of the internet, and you know, for instance, people meet James Rolfe and they don't want to talk to James Rolfe. They want to talk to the Angry Video Game Nerd. And they kind of expect that character to come out in real life. That's where you get kind of weird. Matt Smith had talked about it, about becoming the Doctor. He's like, you know, I did acting before I was the Doctor.
Anyone knows.
And I will probably do some acting after I'm finished being the Doctor. But I will always be known as the Doctor. You know, so that's, and he's kind of accepted it and can move on, but.
And, you know, I'm not talking about how, you know, like James Rolfe should want to be typecast as the nerd. I'm just saying you can do all these other projects that are only marginally successful. Why can't you do the nerd too? It's like you'll notice even like the level of work for him has tapered off. You know, he'll do these side projects and then there'll be a big gap between those and he'll put out nothing new. And it's like, and then another trend is watching these people pass the baton to their sidekicks who become now the main thing on the site. Like, again, to James Rolfe, that Mike Mattei guy, he puts out more content on Cinemassacre than Rolfe does. And Mike Mattei is the absolute antithesis of quality. The guy, I hate this guy. And I even had, when I complained about him once on a forum, somebody said, you hate him just because you're not even half as talented as him. He is the swear for the sake of swearing and then giggle at all your own jokes. And you don't even edit those out. I can't stand this guy. And the guy's a censor, too. If you say anything bad on his YouTube videos, flag. If you say anything bad on the Cinemassacre videos, delete. That guy swings a ban hammer like you would not believe. And I'm sorry, Scott, you and I get lots of criticism. Do we delete any of the comments?
No.
Nope. Because I believe in true free speech. Assholes like Mike Mattei say, you made me feel bad, ban. And I hate that shit.
That does bring me to one point. And this is for anybody doing any show. Whether you're just starting out like our friend Francis from Canada who's doing Digital World Gamers, whether you've been around for a while like the guys at That Guy, whether you've been, you know, well, it doesn't matter how well established you are. Keep the politics off the fucking site.
And see, I don't know if I can agree with that because I have a whole fucking politics show.
No, not...
Well, you said politics.
Not Republican and Democrat type politics. I'm not talking, you know, if you're talking U.S. politics or world politics, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the, if you and I really had a personal beef between one another where I'm really, really upset, like when I did step away from the show for a little while.
Right.
We never really aired that out until after it was done and it was over with and
worked out.
And worked out. We, you know, you never got back on the show and went, you know, fuck that Scott, guess what he did, blah, 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 blah. And that's
I didn't use
here.
Our show as a forum to bitch about you.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about is that internal politics. Keep the internal politics well separate. Yeah. Internal or completely away, you know. And crap, we all have stuff going on in our personal life. I mean, you know, you've got Brad and Jillian obviously have stuff going on in their life. Noah has stuff going on in his life. All of these people have stuff going on in their personal life. And that, most of it, unless it's going to directly affect the show and directly affect the characters, should be kept out of the public eyes. Don't be a dick.
But sometimes that actually creates more controversy. Look at like when Tig fired the Distressed Watcher, when they fired the Amazing Atheist. And the fact that no one would talk about it led to all the speculation and all the rumors about why he was fired.
Well, there's a difference between, I mean, it's a delicate balance. It's a PR thing. And there is a delicate balance between saying nothing and, if anybody tries to say anything about it, making them shut up and stuffing socks in their mouth or whatever, versus airing it all publicly on the site and putting everything down. And then you end up with, you know, some people who are on this side and some people who are on this side, and they're going to fight with one another, versus doing the right thing. One press release. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on Lost in the Static. I'm afraid due to some personal issues, Josh has decided to leave the show.
And put a gun in his mouth.
And replacing... Well, that's different. But you know, due to personal reasons and differences in a creative direction, Josh has decided to leave the show. We're still friends, and replacing him is Herman the Bunny Humper. I don't know.
No, Herman will never take over my fucking show. Never. Look, don't you ever mention him again. I know what you're saying. I just figured I'd jump on that. No pun intended.
But yeah, and it's hard for me to say because I understand where companies are coming from, but there really is, when you're doing something like this on a site, especially if your site is as big as that guy, you really are running a company. It's not a happy, lovey family. We all hang out together and love one another and let's have a drum circle and dance around the fire naked, happy family time. It is a business, and it should be run as a business. And yeah, sometimes when bits of businesses fail, they cut off that arm. But you know, don't make it a big, huge, weepy thing.
Well, and then since we're talking business, then there's also, we can't ignore the Tigwatig thing of their anniversary, and I'm making air quotes, movies that they make. Or should I say anniversary fucking train wrecks that they make? All right. I didn't mind the brawl. I thought the brawl was actually kind of funny and kind of a nice way to get all the characters together for the 1 year.
I didn't see it, but okay.
Suburban Knights and Kickassia. I'm embarrassed for all the people that had to be involved in those things.
I didn't see Kickassia.
They were awful.
I saw Suburban Knights. That was really terrible. I'm sorry. I know it was work, but oh yeah.
And I'm sorry to boldly flee looks worse. Cause it looks like pure ego stroke on Doug Walker's part, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, just from the trailer. I know is the trailer, and it looks like pure ego stroke.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, that's...
And those movies, and obviously I can't speak for To Boldly Flee since I haven't seen it, but Kickassia and Suburban Knights fall into that category of the movie. You know, epic movie, disaster movie. We're referencing something that's humor! Hey, look, we've got a guy dressed like Indiana Jones, and he says a line from Indiana Jones. Humor! Doug Walker, and since your name is on the one on the credits for these things, I'm blaming you as the writer. Referencing something is not humor.
You've said the same thing to Seth.
Okay, yes. Referencing something else is not humor. You have to actually come up with a joke to go with that reference. And unfortunately, Doug Walker fell into the movie kind of thing. That, hey, look, we made a reference to Darth Vader. No, that's not funny. And then there's also the, and I don't know 100% if this is accurate, but the Suburban Knights bullshit about how the money was donated to them supposedly for the movie, and they only spent part of the money on the movie, and the rest of it was spent on other things.
Well, let's
that is speculation.
I was going to say, let's be fair. It's not like we've taken a look at their record books. It's not like we've.
That's
taken
why
a look
I preface with I don't know this for a
this
fact.
This is complete speculation. So let's leave that. You can dangle that carrot, but I'm going to bat it aside and let's deal with the shit that we know.
Okay. But I personally think this internet critic boom is over. I think the bubble done burst and they just don't realize it yet.
I don't think so.
You really think that this still has legs?
I think it still has legs. I don't think it has legs in its current form. But here's my prediction. I believe that maybe not on that guy, maybe not on The Escapist, maybe on a site that we haven't heard of yet or that hasn't been made. Somebody is going to come up with a new formula. Somebody out there is going to create a little character, and they, you know, maybe they're watching this stuff and they're going, I disagree with a lot of what these people are saying, and I've got a lot to say, and I want to put my spin on it. I think that there are legs, but it's going to be a new spin. It's going to be a new formula. The angry guy is done. The guy being forced to watch this schlock, I think, is done. The side stories,
I hope they're done.
They don't work in their current form, but I think if somebody does tweak them right to where it kind of gets worked into the review. And Red Letter Media, you mentioned that.
Yes. Red Letter Media, the Plinkett reviews.
Yeah, the Plinkett
reviews. He works that stuff in. Those are some of the funniest, most analytical movie reviews I've ever seen.
Exactly. And he works that side story stuff in, and it doesn't bog down the rest of the review.
For one thing, it's not the first 5 minutes, and then right. We talk about the comic, and then 20 more minutes.
Right.
It's all little sprinkles throughout the review, just exactly. Little references, and they work.
We develop this character, Plinkett, very slowly.
Who we've never even seen.
Right, who we've never even seen, very slowly over time with just little tidbits of information. And that I think, is possibly the next formula if other people decide to jump on this.
That also falls into the Angry Video Game Nerd Lorecat thing I talked about, how they kind of dropped that. Red Letter Media kind of dropped the Plinkett stuff, and now they spend all their time on that crappy Half in the Bag show that they do. It's like, hey, no one watches Half in the Bag. We want more Plinkett. Do some more Plinkett reviews, goddammit. You've been promising us Blade Runner and stuff like this forever. But every week, there's a new fucking Half in the Bag. And they go, yeah, we had to set Plinkett back a little bit because, you know, we're too busy. Then just stop Half in the Bag. No one likes that show.
I'm not going to say no one likes that show.
I'm just saying more people like Plinkett than like Half in
but
the Bag.
Nonetheless, okay. So, yeah, they've fallen into that trap. But I don't think that this is dead. I don't think it's a dead art form. I think in its current form, following the current formula, we've seen it. We have seen it. And you go, oh, my deal is I'm an angry guy trapped on a spaceship doing this. No, MST3K, we've seen it. We've done it. I'm an angry guy trapped in a dungeon. Okay, so you're MST3K underground. Stop it.
Well, that actually brings up something else. That there is a way to do these things in an original format that is not a ripoff. That's something else, because whenever anyone does criticism over a movie now, they go, oh, you're just an MST3K ripoff. Not really. If you were copying MST3K, fine. Making funny comments over the movie? I don't think that's distinctly Mystery Science Theater.
No, it's not.
I'm so sick of everyone going, oh, God, you know, you're not MST3K. Just stop it. Because there's plenty of shows like that make the little comments over. Hell, I just started one, Snark Attack. We had the first episode a couple weeks ago of Snark Attack. It's still got a lot to work out. I mean, we had bugs in it, but, you know.
But nonetheless, I mean, okay, maybe MST3K was a bad example, because that's not what, you're right. They didn't really do what I'm talking about. But, we've seen the formula as it is. Plug in location, plug in special character.
Plug in specialty comic book, anime, game, whatever exactly. Type of thing that they're going to do.
Exactly. And go. And I can tell you this, and this is a sad thing, and I'm not picking anyone out in particular on this one, because I've seen it all over the place, even in sites that I really, really like. When it comes to female reviewers, I'm seeing two character archetypes emerge.
Repeatedly
emerge.
Okay.
One, the over-sexualized, tee-hee, look at my boobs, hey, there's a movie, look at my boobs
okay.
type character. And two, the all men are evil, femme power, rock on, girls rule the world. And
feminazi.
Yeah, well, I hate using that word because it doesn't fit. But yeah, the feminist that kind of lost sight of what feminism really is. It's got the goddamn term feminine right there in it. But you know, and I'm seeing those two emerge. Also, if you're gay or you're a lesbian, wonderful. Doesn't make a fucking difference to me on your review of the movie.
I've seen quite a few of those where it's like, I'm gay, so I'm looking at this from a gay perspective.
Which, that's one thing. I mean, there really is, you know, if you want to look at it from a gay, especially if you're looking at latter 70s, early 80s emerging queer cinema. And queer cinema being that, you know, the art house stuff in the New York that came out and went, we're gay and we're here to stay. And that was the point of the movie. Well, that's one thing.
Even the queer cinema that wasn't even out like Liquid Sky.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that's not a fucking gay movie.
Right. But that's, you know, looking at that from a gay perspective is one thing. Looking at Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, and you go, here's my gay perspective. Well, being gay doesn't really make a difference. In the, you know, Mercutio and Romeo were butt buddies. There's my gay perspective. Good job. No.
Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Well, that's good for you. Go back to your corner. But, you know, if you are looking at, you know, I mean, even modern gay cinema, like another gay movie, which is awful, by the way.
I never even heard of that one.
I forget what the one was. But, I mean, if being gay is a perspective in the movie and affects the plot of the movie, you know, along the lines, to use a popular show, Showtime, you know, Queer as Folk, obviously, there was a gay perspective to be shared there. But, you know, you can't tell me that a criticism of Terminator 2 is going to change immensely because you're a gay character watching it, or because you're a gay individual watching this movie.
What about Top Gun? Like, one I just shot a scene, hole in your...
One scene. I mean, you know.
No, that whole movie's subtly gay, man. Road Warrior.
Yeah, okay. But but at the same time, it's, you know, and girls, if you fuck other girls, good on you. Keep up your good work. Fight the lesbian fight. I don't care. You know, but when it comes to the movie, if the movie, like I said, if there's not an overly gay theme to it or something like that, obviously, you know, stop it. It doesn't play a part. And I know that that's awful, and I know that I've got one gay friend that I'm thinking of particularly that would be like, you're exactly right, Scott. And I've got a whole slew of other friends who go, no, being gay shapes everything in our life. And we have to put our perspective on it because the straighties run the world. Good for you.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will call bullshit on that.
Exactly. And that's as close-minded of a view as a straight person going, what? There are no gay people in this world. It's against God's will.
Well, and there's one other trend I want to talk about. And now, I'm not going to call the guy out specifically because I don't, maybe he needs all this. I don't know. I really like the reviews on SF Debris, his reviews. You know, they're on Blip, so he gets all the Blip money from the views on that. Okay, fine. But he also charges to do request reviews. If you want me to talk about a specific Star Trek episode, $100. Plus, I get to keep all the Blip revenue. That's kind of douchey. Shouldn't you just do it and then keep the Blip revenue?
Kind of douchey, but it's his right.
I know. I'm just saying I want to call that out because I've seen a couple other sites that do that too, that we will review whatever you want for a price.
And
we're keeping the Blip money too.
But to me, again, it's a market. If people are willing to pay, somebody's willing to sell.
I kind of want to just point that out, that that's a trend I don't like, and I don't want more sites to do that. That, you know, even if you go to, like, even Doug Walker and you say, I'd really like you to review this movie, he might do it. He's not going to ask for $100 for it from you. And I've been very critical of Doug Walker. I've never met Doug Walker, okay? I don't know the man personally. I know the persona he puts out there. Oh, that's the other thing we do need to point out, and this I will call out Doug Walker for. The putting up videos completely unnecessarily to get extra Blip money, such as Doug, hey, these are the conventions I'm going to be at in the next year. And he lists it all in a 2-minute Blip video, which gets him a whole bunch of money. That could have been done with a blog update on in text. There was absolutely no reason to make that a video other than the fact that you don't get blip revenue if you just put it up in text. Kind of a douchey thing. Going, give me money. Click on this for money, which is kind of what we said for the Amazon thing, so I do get the dichotomy. But
look, I understand. It is a business. He's trying to make money. I'm not going to fault him. Yeah, could it have been put up in a text deal? Yes. Could you and I have written out a transcript of this radio show? And could we stop asking people to go to Amazon? Could you take down your donate button from your website? Could we maybe just call Adam and Eve and say, never mind, we're not doing it anymore, period, or anything like that? Yes. But it is a business, and that is another revenue stream.
Well, it's like we talked about in the selling out episode. Like the blip video, the commercial at the beginning of a blip video for like Nostalgia Critic, I have no problem with that. That's what I call the cost of doing business. That's cost of doing business. The blip video in the middle of the video, that, or the commercial in the middle of the video, that I think is where we're going. Money, 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 money.
See, I look at the cost of the site. I look at the cost. Maybe it does cost him that much, and that would be different. You know, for instance, my little audio board, it has served us well. It's eventually going to start wearing out. Is it me going money, 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 money if I wanted to ask a listener to, you know, ask the listeners for donations for a new audio board or new mics or anything like that? I don't think so. And I think maybe that's, you know, now, don't get me wrong. Commercial at the beginning, commercial in the middle, we're done. If you make a half hour review that's 10 minutes long and 20 minutes of commercials, that's different.
It's the same thing that the Tigwitig people don't do this as much, but some of their contributors do when they put stuff on their personal websites, is when they break a video in half unnecessarily. You know, the video will be 20 minutes long, so it says part one and part two in 10-minute segments. Why? Doubles the blip revenue. That's kind of douchey. There's no reason it can't be a 20-minute video other than the fact that you'd only get one hit on that instead of two for every view.
Kind of douchey, but I kind of understand it. And again, splitting it that way, I can deal with.
I would prefer it just as one.
I know.
Because not only is it easier for me as a viewer, but it says to me, I'm doing this at least partially for the art and not money, 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 money. All right. In 2 years, I've made $25 off of Blip. I'm not getting rich off my fucking videos. You'll find no commercials in the middle. You'll find some of those segments are 40 fucking minutes long. I don't break them up unnecessarily. The breaks in the movies for Beyond Midnight are there because that's where the commercial breaks were going to be, and that's how the show was originally shot. Could I edit it all into one? Yeah. I tried to do that once, and people complained. Do you know how long it takes to download a 2-hour fucking video? When it's 2 hours, there's a difference. When it's 20 minutes split into two tens, you're just being greedy. So I have issues with that.
Okay. I don't, but...
Well, you and I have always differed on this viewpoint.
I'm
we're
a
never
capitalist
gonna...
and you're a hippie.
What? You're back to this hippie shit again. I thought we settled this hippie shit.
I'm sorry. But no... And here's where maybe a little bit of the hypocritical comes in the last minute and a half of the show. First off, thanks a lot for listening to us. Secondly, if you are a reviewer on That Guy or any of the sites that we mentioned and you do take issue with what we say, email us.
LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com. If we've gotten it wrong, tell us.
Please.
If you want to come on the show and say, hey, look, you guys are fucking assholes. We're more than willing to have you on, dude.
Be happy to. And the other deal is, again, we mentioned 1201beyond.com. We've got our Amazon ads there if you've got some shopping to do. Secondly,
you can download episodes of the show out of all the shows. Radiodrome, what the fuck? You can find links where, because I don't have the rights to most of the articles I've written for magazines. That's the way the contracts are written. But you can go buy the back issues off their websites if you want to read some of the stuff I've written. All my sanity columns are up there.
And, of course, there is your donate button. If you want to help us out directly, we very much appreciate it. And Yeah, it'll go into equipment for the show and such.
Yeah, it doesn't go into, oh, look, I can buy a Maserati. No, it goes into, hey, we can get the board fixed.
Exactly.
There's a slight difference there.
Yeah, but again, thanks a bunch for joining us and for listening to Josh and I tonight. We will see you guys next week, I hope.
Blah.
Yep.
Blah.
Blah.